Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We can do better. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
We're doing the bells much better than we did the palms. So please ring your bell every time you hear the word Alleluia, whether it's in a prayer or a hymn, but not during the choir anthem. It's all Alleluias, and we want to hear the choir. A special welcome to all those people that Emily Grace brought with her this morning for her baptism. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, it is my distinct blessing and honor to welcome you here this morning. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and we believe passionately that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. Thank you for being here. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Elizabeth Kubler-Ross said, "People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle, they shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light from within." The light within us, Jesus calls us to bring out into the world.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Give thanks to our good God, whose unfailing love lasts forever. Alleluia. We gather together in the dawn of a new day. We look toward the tomb to seek the enfleshed word. We find God alive in the searching, in the garden, in our hope-filled spaces. Alleluia! Christ lives and finds us with unfailing love. Alleluia!
Would you please rise in body or spirit for our first hymn, and feel free to shake your bell even if Alleluia is not sung.
Thank you.
please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Resurrected God, you are the God of new beginnings, of new dawns, new mercies, and excited alleluias. Enter into our presence again when we move toward the tomb. Remind us that you come with life. When we despair at the world unfolding around us, assure us of your redemptive power. When we long for your voice, speak a word of hope, encouragement, and peace. May we reflect your image as resurrection people in your covenant with you. Alleluia. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with each of you.
And also with you.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning, Reagan. How are you?
Peace be with you.
Okay, we're going to go down after the sermon at the start of the prayer.
Okay.
A whole bunch of people will just be back there at the back of the church. You want to go down and spread it out. Happy Easter.
I'm going to speak the phone.
Happy Easter. Be here with your family. Peter.
Miles, my Happy Easter.
So, guys and gals and non-binary pals of any age, come on down for the small and mighty moment. There's got to be, yeah, there we go. Wow, look at the bow tie and suspenders. I bet the members of the congregation want to ring their Alleluia bells for all these kids here. I wanted to show you my friend, Wilfred. Wilfred. What is he?
Caterpillar,
right. Before we talk about Wilfred, I want you to tell me what today is.
Easter.
Easter. And tell me what you guys know about Easter.
I found eggs.
You found eggs? Easter.
And we also eat candy.
It's when Jesus rose.
And we also eat candy.
And we eat candy? It's about bunnies.
We eat the bunny.
It's when Jesus awoke. My friend Miriam over here said that in Chile and in places where people speak Spanish, they say Christos resucitó. Resucito, no S. Resucito. Jesus came back to life. Who believes that? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't. Because I can tell you, after all my, you can put your hands down. After all my years in ministry, this idea of Jesus resurrecting and rising from the dead, Christo resucito? I have more questions now than I did when I was your age. And those questions are good. The thing for me about the resurrection, about Easter morning, the message that I take away from it is we can change. Each of us and all of us, we can change in ways that we can't even imagine. From one way to another way. Before I was a minister, I was an accountant. I changed from one into the other, right? In ways that I could have never imagined. So, why do you think I brought my snuggly Wilfred today? Caterpillars turn into butterflies. Is that what you were going to say? Anybody else? Wouldn't you guys like to snuggle with Wilfred sometime? So, if a caterpillar can turn into a butterfly, an accountant can turn into a minister, right? Or a kid who has problems sitting still in a classroom, can find ways with the teacher's help to, right? So I want to show you Wilfred. And you said it, right? Isn't that cool? That's Wilfred. And Wilfred flies away. What was Wilfred a moment ago?
A caterpillar.
And what is Wilfred right now?
A butterfly.
A butterfly. And I just noticed he's got all this black hair on him. Anyway, that's what I want you to take away. You guys can change from one way into another way, just like Wilfred turned into something totally different. A caterpillar to a butterfly. This man, Jesus, into Jesus Christ. Can we have a quick prayer? Does anybody want to do the prayer? This is where all the hands go down, generally. Let's pray together, okay? Dear God, we give you thanks for all the ways in which we can change. We give you special thanks on this Easter morning for the presence of these young people. Let us have the courage to learn from them and change into new ways ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going to baptize Emily Grace. Oh, right there. I'm sorry. I was looking for you back. So you guys can stay here. That would be cool. Or you guys can go back to your pews, whichever you'd like to do. I think you should stay, Emily. So whatever you want to do, stay here or go back to your pews. So now I invite you to hear the promises of God to Sarah and Abraham. God said to Sarah and Abraham, I will indeed bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as stars, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. With the people of Israel, we give thanks to God for children. They are a sign of God's blessing and a sign of hope. God creates all things, and all life is a gift from God. And for this, we give thanks. We give special thanks for children who remind us powerfully and personally of the reality of God's creating and creative powers. Children are a sign of God's creation. Jesus said, who is my mother, and who are my sisters and brothers and siblings? And reaching out his hand towards the disciples, he said, here are my brothers and my sisters and my siblings and my mother. This part of the service gives thanks to God. And we give thanks to our creating God for the gift of children. So, members of Christ's family, I present to you Emily Grace. You know what you're supposed to do, right? Good job, Emily. And Emily's parents, Alyssa and Ken Springer, and her godmothers, Robin Clausen and Jess Manger. I'm sorry. If you can make your way through the maze, come on up. And if you guys can all face the congregation, that would be wonderful. Would you join your hearts with mine in prayer? O God, like a mother who comforts her children, you strengthen us in our solitude, you sustain us and provide for us. We come before you with gratitude for the gift of Emily, for the joy which she brings into the family, and for the grace with which you surround them and all of us. As a father cares for his children, so continually look on us with compassion and goodness. Pour out your spirit. Enable your servants to abound in love and establish our homes in holiness through Jesus Christ. Alleluia. Amen. Emily Grace. This is a big thing that you're doing today. Very big, and you're very brave to be up here in front of all these people. Before we do this big thing, before we baptize you, I have a few questions, okay? It's not a test. Emily Grace, do you want to be baptized? Do you covenant? Covenant is that church big word for promise, right? In church, we use covenant instead of promise. So do you covenant as best you can to live by and follow the teachings of Jesus? Do you covenant to keep learning about Jesus and about your faith throughout your life? Do you covenant to not do bad things and speak up when you see other people doing bad things? Do you covenant to love as best as you're able, Annabelle, even when you don't really like her? Will you please tell me your full name?
Emily Grace Springer.
Good. Alyssa and Ken, in acknowledging Emily as a gift from God, do you also acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ and the responsibility that God places upon you? Do you acknowledge that Emily is a gift from the hand of our loving Creator? Do you accept the obligation which is yours to love her and nurture her and to lead her to Christian faith by teaching and example? Do you acknowledge a need for the power of the Holy Spirit and the support of the church, your families and friends, so that you may be a good steward of this gift of life that is Emily? Annabelle, do you covenant to love Emily even in those moments where you don't like her very much? Good. Robin and Jess, there's that old Jewish proverb that says, in time of travail, go to the friend of your father, go to the friend of your mother. And that's where the idea of godparents came from, watching over others' children because parents just can't do it alone. Do you then, to the best of your abilities, covenant, that's the big church word for promise, do you covenant to supplement the care and love of Alyssa, Ken, and Annabelle, both in the day-to-day development of Emily, and especially in the event of any extraordinary need? If so, please say we do. Would you please rise in body or spirit? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Do you covenant to nurture Emily and her family in the Christian faith and life and include them in your care? If so, please say we do.
We do.
Please be seated. Well, no, stay standing, because we're going to sing Child of Blessing, Child of Promise, a hymn that Emily chose herself.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Do you know what this thing is called? It's called the baptismal font. Font, F-O-N-T, because like a fountain, water gushes up. Don't worry, it's not going to gush up. But. And do you know why we use water? I think. I might be making this up, but I think it's because Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And so we use water because it's sort of like the symbolism is like cleansing you for new life. Do you want to pour it in or do you want me to pour it in? Just dump it right in. Don't worry about it splashing. Don't worry about anything. There we go. Excellent. And then what we usually do, or we always do, is we bless the water. And it's not going to change the water, but it's just going to remind us of the presence of God's Spirit in it. So can we pray together? Loving God, we ask you to bless and sanctify this water by the power of your Holy Spirit, that it may symbolize for Emily a new life in Christ. Amen. When we talked about baptizing you, I forgot to ask you if it's okay if I touch your forehead. It's okay? Cool. Why doesn't everybody, the five of you, come on up? And if Emily's okay with it, put a hand on Emily's shoulder. Are you okay with it? And when we baptize you, I use the name Emily Grace, not Springer, because you're being baptized into this family, which is much bigger than just, not just, much bigger than the Springer family. Emily Grace, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Emily Grace, disciple of Christ, child of God, and member of the Church Universal. Amen. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in welcoming Emily into the congregation? Is it terrible being up here? And let's welcome her with the traditional words printed in your bulletin. Emily, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one. Let's pray. Gracious God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, out of the treasures of your love, strengthen us through your Spirit. Help us joyfully to nurture Emily within your church. Bring her by grace from baptism, that Christ may dwell in her heart through faith. Give power to her and to us, that with all your people, we may grasp the breadth and length, the height and depth of Christ's love. Enable us to know this love, though it is beyond knowledge, and to be filled with your own fullness, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Emily Grace, the certificate of your baptism. Jess, the godmother. Robin, the other godmother. Thank you all. You can head back to your seats. I don't know about you, but I could have never in a million years done that when I was her age. This year, our Easter offering will support the United Church of Christ's One Great Hour of Sharing and the UCC's Global Hope Appeal for Turkey and Syria. Envelopes are available this morning. I think they're in the bulletin or in the pew. or you could give online at firstchurchnatick.org or mail your contributions to the church office. Let's continue to worship God with our offerings. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our song of praise? Together. Mighty God of resurrection and redemption, we offer our gifts alongside our alleluias. We offer our hands and feet and voices and alleluias to take the celebration out of this place into a world that needs hope so desperately. May we go into the world with such energy, excitement, and power that the ground shakes once again so that people see in us your redeeming love and the triumph of light over darkness. Alleluia. Amen. Please be seated.
The Christian scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now it was the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene came early on while it was still dark to the tomb and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Messiah out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple came and went to the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple ran ahead of Peter and reached the tomb first, and bending down to see, saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up separately in another place. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, went in and saw and believed. Indeed, they did not understand the scripture that it was necessary for Jesus to rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned once more to their homes. Now Mary stood outside facing the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she bent down to see in the tomb. Then she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken my Savior, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why do you weep? For whom do you look?" Now, thinking that this was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus told her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, because I have not yet ascended to the Abba. Rather, go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Abba and your Abba, to my God and your God.'" Now, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Savior." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Alleluia.
I like these baby prayers coming from over here somewhere. They're just as sweet as the Alleluias. A good friend of mine, a rabbi actually, reminded me of the words of Elie Wiesel. He wrote, "God made man because God loves stories. God made man because God loves stories." From childhood, one of the ways we discover the world around us is through stories. We learn that there are monsters and heroes. We discover that there's joy and heartache and sometimes even happily ever after. And of course, we learn the power of "I think I can, I think I can." We learn that we have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, just like Alexander, and we learn, unfortunately, perhaps the hardest lesson of all, that we are not the center of the universe. Stories contain the truths of life. We can hear it where we allow ourselves to go beyond, wondering if it's real or factual or logical or even historically accurate. And we simply acknowledge that a story can contain truth. We've gathered here this morning once again to retell and celebrate the most foundational story of our faith. It's the story of Mary Magdalene going to anoint Jesus' body after his death. Mary Magdalene, who, after finding the tomb, proclaims, "I have seen the Lord." It's the first person to ever make that proclamation, a woman. "I have seen the Lord." It's a wonderful, incredible story, moving and changing us even to this very day. It may or may not be historically accurate, but undoubtedly there's truth woven throughout it. Not too long ago, I came across this short story. I've seen it attributed to Henri Nouwen. And it's a story that brings us a bit closer to that essential mystery of the resurrection. And hopefully it has a word to share with us today. It goes like this. In a mother's womb, there were two babies. The first baby asked the other, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" The second baby replied, "Why, of course, there must be something after delivery. Maybe, just maybe, we're here to prepare ourselves for what we will be later." "Nonsense," said the first, "but there's no life after delivery. What would that life be?" "I don't know, but there'll be more light than here. Maybe, just maybe, we'll walk with our legs and eat from our mouths." The doubting baby laughed. "That's absurd. Walking is impossible, and eat with our mouths? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies all nutrition. Life after delivery is to be excluded. The umbilical cord is just too short." The second baby held his ground. "I think there is something, and maybe, just maybe, it's really different than it is in here." The first baby replied, "No one has ever come back from there." Delivery is the end of life, and in the after delivery, it's nothing but darkness and anxiety, and it takes us nowhere. "Well, I don't know," said the twin, "but certainly we will see Mother, and she will take care of us." "Mother?" the first baby guffawed. "You believe in Mother? Where is she now?" The second baby calmly and patiently tried to explain, "She's all around us. It's in her that we live. Without her, there wouldn't be this world." "Ha! I don't see her. So it's only logical. She doesn't exist." To which the other replied, Sometimes when you're in silence, you can hear her. Sometimes you can perceive her if you're really quiet. And I believe there is a reality after delivery. And we're here to prepare ourselves for that reality when it comes." Just like Mary discovering that the tomb wasn't the end of life, the good news of the Easter story is that death is not the end. There's something more, something greater, something we can only imagine that we are to be preparing for in this life. Friends, siblings, on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Day, we are Easter people. We have experienced the resurrection in more ways than we can possibly count. We know this. We believe this. And since we have experienced the resurrection over and over and over in our personal and communal lives, We have faith in its promise and have faith in its ongoing transformational journey in our lives. In the midst of all the horrible things, the devastating things, and the soul-sucking things around us, we can firmly believe, because our faith tells us and our lives have shown us, that there's more to come. And that more will be both radically different and even better than we can imagine. Just like that faithful baby in the womb in the story I shared a moment ago. In the midst of FCC's interim time, in which you have faithfully worked and discerned and lived and prayed and partied and argued together, just like those babies, like Mary Magdalene at the mouth of the tomb, you stand on the threshold of a new and different FCC story, in which you will strive to bring heaven on earth to the people you've been called to serve. And your faith tells you, it shows you, that the new story, that the more, will both be different and even better than you can possibly imagine. That promise of the resurrection, the promise of transformation, is true. Thanks be to God. Christ the Lord is risen. Risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. They're leaving for a very important, very top secret task. As we enter this time of prayer, I ask you to look at the prayer list in your bulletins and hold all of those people and situations on your hearts. You are, of course, invited to email prayers and concerns and celebrations to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and they will make their way up to me. I ask you to hold in prayer Jack Malloy. What other joys and celebrations and concerns and prayers and hopes do people bring with them this morning and would like to hold before the congregation? Pam? So prayers of comfort for the family of your past landlord, Mr. Geronimo, who passed away. Doug?
Prayers of gratitude for the life of Chief Gary Hines, who passed away this Sunday.
Prayers of thanksgiving for the life of Chief Caring Hands, who passed away this past week. Yes. Tell me his name again, please.
Steve Conley.
Steve Conley passed away at 50 years old. Randall?
For Thanksgiving, I guess, for two different very creative friends who had their creative projects sort of debut this week with positive social messages along with this creativity.
Prayers of thanksgiving for two of Randall's friends whose creativity has been showcased. Lane?
Prayers of care, calm, and
And your checkbook's going to be busy, is my bet. I'm sorry, Randall. Prayers for your two friends whose creativity was showcased along with social positive messages baked into the creativity. Janice. Wow, for Janice's, two of Janice's sons, Warren and Ray, especially Ray, who's right here, who's about to turn 16. I don't want to miss anybody. Heather. Prayers of gratitude for a full house and babies in the sanctuary. Alleluia. Others. Would you join your hearts with mine in prayer, please? Oh God, with faces touched by the light of a new day, and hearts warmed by our prayers and praises, we come before you to pray for the needs of our world. Into the light of Easter morning, we raise those who are struggling with illness, with despair over their lives, or with the breakdown of relationships. May the light of Christ shine upon them. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of Easter morning, we bring those places in our world where war, violence, poverty, and need are the experiences of everyday life. May the light of Christ shine upon them. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of Easter morning, we bring all those who make headlines. We hold in our hearts the pain of those suffering violence, bereavement, or conflict. May the light of Christ shine upon them. May the light of Christ shine upon them. And into the light of Easter morning, we bring ourselves, the private struggles, the heart's yearnings, the hidden dreams, the unfulfilled potential. May the light of Christ shine upon us. May the light of Christ shine upon us. Oh God, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, who would have us pray. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Okay, kids that are kindergarten and younger over here, and kids that are first grade and older over here to get ready for the Easter egg hunt outside. Christo resuscito. Christo resuscito. How did I do, Miriam? Christo resuscito. Alleluia. As you take your alleluias into the street, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.